Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, it's an exciting time in the Bay Area, specifically for the Golden State Warriors. They acquire Jimmy Butler at the trade deadline. Andrew Wiggins gets moved to Miami. We kind of, I think someone brought it up earlier, one of our callers, Dan. They align Butler with Curry and Draymond. All three players are under contract for roughly $150 million combined through 2027. And at the very least, they've put an expiration date on their newest big three.
Does this mean now that they are definitely going to re-up Jonathan Kuminga?
I think it means yes. I also think it means that they are willing to dip back into the tax and maybe even the second apron to keep Kuminga. I don't know how you can not sign him at this point. Now, I think there's an avenue to trading Butler. There's an avenue to signing and trading Kuminga this summer, but he's getting a contract.
So that puts you nearly $200 million. You're up against the cap with four guys.
That is where I will say they chose a path. They chose a path of financial investment because these are the players. Like, that's what they had to do. Now, I've been sitting on this for an hour. But it's something I do believe pretty strongly, and I don't know.
Out with it.
Poked around, spoken to a few people. One of the things that gave me pause about the Butler trade, like, I don't think there's a massive risk involved, but I could see how it could go spectacularly wrong. My apprehension comes from the fact that I don't think that Steph Curry and Steve Kerr wanted Jimmy Butler. I think the front office wanted Jimmy Butler. And I know that Kerr and Curry are consummate pros and they're going to make it work. Notice I left out Draymond Green. He doesn't matter in my opinion. Curry not having Jimmy Butler as his preferred running mate, that worries me. Because if your franchise is not on board with the big fish, like, I think Curry would have been able to play, wanted to play with Paul George, wanted to play with Markkanen, wanted to play with Durant, certainly. And again, I think he'll make it work, and they'll find a way.
Didn't want to play with Draymond again.
I feel pretty confident saying that Jimmy Butler was not Steph Curry's first choice. And I think that there's a risk now of creating a rift between what the front office wants and what the locker room wants. And it's less about Jimmy Butler to me, Dan, than it is about a growing gap between that, the players and the front office. And I think there could be problems there.
Okay, a couple of things. I read this with Monty Poole, said this, and this is really insightful, that the last time the Golden State Warriors in the room was divided and that there was a rift between the front office and some of the players and not knowing what it is that they wanted to do and not everybody being on the same page was the year that Klay Thompson tore his Achilles on draft day. And suddenly a guy that was going to be heavily counted upon, the Warriors found themselves once again, quote unquote, in this desperate mode. And they went out and got Kelly Oubre. And the jury was out on it. Apparently, half the room didn't want Kelly Oubre. Half the room was like, we got to do something. Kelly Oubre didn't work out. Didn't even finish the season with him. That was a mistake. A lot of people feel that that was analogous to what it is that we're witnessing at the trade deadline 2025. Now, obviously, Jimmy Butler is a much better player than Kelly Oubre. But in terms of this being a desperate act, and to your point, and I have no idea if there's any truth to this, that Steph Curry and Steve Kerr were out on this, certainly has plausibility. I would say this, though. If the GM is making decisions, and you consult, obviously, with Steve Kerr and maybe Curry, but I applaud a GM that's a visionary and does things according to him. I really do. Now, you can say what you want about Nico Harrison, and I know the consensus is, bro, are you drunk? You just traded Luka Doncic at age 25. But what I will appreciate is that you hired me to do a job, and that is to make my respective team better. And I don't give a rip about what anybody else says, including Evan Giddings and Dan Devone, including any of the community pressure, including ESPN or Fox News. I am here as a GM to do one thing, and that is to create a culture that I think is going to work, and that's the only thing that's going to guide me. Now, I think guys like Farhan, and I don't know Dunleavy well enough, could learn from somebody like that. So on one end, I applaud somebody who's willing to do it their way and not necessarily taking the temperature of the room and having it being this sort of collaborative effort. I don't know that that's necessarily true, but it's an interesting scenario should it, you know, that come to fruition as far as, you know, Dunleavy doing one thing and Steve Kerr and Steph Curry being on a completely different page.
You're right about the GMs needing to do what they have to do, but I don't think that this was a move for culture. Like, I think Nico Harrison made that move because he's trying to change the culture in Dallas. And I think there's a path to them succeeding. I think they very may well could be successful with Anthony Davis and maybe add this summer a bigger fish and try and give it a go. Still don't think in 10 years we're going to look at it as the right move. But you got to let it play out. I think the Warriors made this move because they were desperate. And I know that everyone publicly is saying that they weren't and that they haven't been emotional.
Oh, Kerr said as much prior to the trade. He's like, we got to do something.
Well, but then he backtracked. That he walked that back because I actually asked him about it on Monday and he jumped me. He said that's not what I said. I swear. That's not what I said. What I said was standing pat is not an option that we're afforded because we're 500. What he meant by that was we're not a team that can say we're good. You know, we have to be open to everything. But he said I could easily envision us doing nothing. So it was very political. I thought it was funny. But I think the Warriors did something because they were desperate. They were desperate to shake things up.
So they did something for the sake of doing something.
Yes.
And you know what John Wooden said? I told you this last week.
Do not confuse.
Never mistake activity for achievement.
Well, we're going to find out if it achieves something. I just don't think that it's going to achieve enough for people to be happy. Because the other part about this, too, and maybe this is where Jimmy Butler's skin is thicker than other stars around the league, and he didn't really care. Whoever was going to come in and try to, you know, save this season or save whatever the remainder of the Curry era is, they're going to get blamed when it doesn't work. Like Curry and maybe Draymond might, but Curry's not going to take any flack for not winning another championship or not getting to, I don't know, Western Conference Finals. Like, it's going to be Jimmy Butler, or if it would have been Kevin Durant or whoever else they would have brought in here, we would have blamed them. We rarely point the finger at the homegrown star. So I think Jimmy Butler is someone who's equipped to handle that and, quite frankly, just have it roll off his shoulder. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go out to North Carolina, talk to our guy Tim. Tim, what's going on, my man? Good morning. Or good afternoon, not an NC.
What's up? Well, it's just 10 o'clock. No, it's 1 o'clock. You're throwing me off, Evan. but no, man, I agree with you, man. I think it definitely was a front office move. And I think, Evan, that we're at the point now, this has Joe Lacob written all over it. Hey, look, man, I'm giving you $17 million. I'm going to take away some of these comfort pieces with you. I'm going to give you the best talent and go coach them up. I think that's what Joe Lacob is saying to Steve Kerr. We all know, we hear it all the time. He's not a Steve Kerr person. He's not in the Steve Kerr system. And I guarantee you, Joe Lacob is tired of hearing that. Like the old days, the Bill Walsh's, the Belichick, hey, give me all the talent, and I'm going to coach him up. And I think that's what he did by taking – he took four veteran comfort pieces that Steve Kerr likes, and I'm giving you one player that's talented, and go coach him up. And I think that's kind of what the front office is telling him, man. I'm giving you $17 million. You're the highest paid coach in the league. Go and put a system around this talent and make it happen. And I think that's kind of – I think you're right on the money that that this was a heavily front office move. I know you guys trust Slater and you trust Monty Poole, and they pretty much have said that. They've said that this was a front office move, not so much of the locker room. So it'll be interesting to see, but, hey, if you are who you say you are, go coach them up and make it happen. You know, put a system around – the talent that you got, and let's see what you can do. And now we'll see if Kerr is up to that, or maybe Kerr isn't, and he'll tap out after his last year. You know, but it's going to be interesting to see how it plays, guys.
I got you, Tim. I actually think that, and I think that's a good call. I appreciate it. I think that Kerr is someone that likes a Jimmy Butler-type player. He's fiery. He doesn't back down from anybody. Kerr is a lot more competitive than people give him credit for, but this is, again, it's like bringing in a secondary piece or a role piece. It's a lot different than bringing in an alpha dog. Like, again, I think if the Warriors are going to go to where they want to go, which is the postseason, and I think if it's going to be a success, they got to win a playoff series, Jimmy Butler's got to be the best player on this team. And that's just, that's a lot to ask, especially at the deadline where you only got, what, 30 games left in the season, and I haven't done the math yet, but you don't have a ton of time left, and you're a game below 500.
Either Jimmy Butler or a couple of other players. But what he does is now he gives you options. So Butler can ISO and be very, very good. And if he's not feeling it, well, then it could be Steph from night to night or depending on the matchups. And if it's not those two, then you hope that Jonathan Kuminga can come back and be a guy that's going 20 to 25 a night, and he has the potential to erupt. What it does now, it's that now you have other opportunities not named Steph Curry. So he doesn't necessarily have to be the best player, but what he's going to do is that he's going to now give the opportunity for other players to shine. Steph Curry can be more Steph Curry. Jonathan Kuminga hopefully can come back and be that shot in the arm, and now you're – your portfolio is a little bit more diversified, whereas right now it's Steph Curry.
This is from the 510. Warriors are playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers. The Warriors are three moves ahead of us. When Giannis comes available, possibly this summer, Butler and Kuminga will be traded. I don't think it could happen. I'm not disregarding that. But the Warriors don't.
I think Giannis could be on the move. That's a good call, but not to the Warriors.
The Warriors are no longer a franchise that gets to say that they're ahead of other franchises. Like, they're no longer light years ahead. They're another team.
And they're desperate is what they are.
This wasn't their first choice. Their first choice was Kevin Durant. He told them to kick rocks. And I'm slapping myself for believing all the reports that it could come to fruition. You know, I think it's interesting that all of that stuff was reported when...
Why don't you think he came, Draymond?
No, I don't. I just don't think he wanted to go back to a place. Kevin Durant won two championships, two finals MVPs, and people still didn't like him. Like, it took him.
Well, he's never beloved anywhere he goes.
You'd think that a multi-time champion would be beloved, or at least appreciated. The only reason, Dan, that Kevin Durant is remembered as fondly as he is it because he gave his Achilles.
There's a conspiracy theory that's the underlying reason why he doesn't want to come back. If you were to put on your conspiracy hood.
What?
Is the way he was misdiagnosed in the, well, just prior to the finals. He had the calf injury and then was allowed to return and then obviously snaps the Achilles. That's the reason why a lot of people.
That might be part of it. I mean, if you don't trust a medical staff. But
Celebrini, man.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, I don't know. Maybe KD does have a rift with Rick, but I don't think that Celebrini is the biggest issue.
I don't even think
Draymond is.
I do. Yeah. To me, it's just I don't like that dude. When you go there with somebody, there's no going back. Like when you dress him down publicly in that game against the Clippers, I'm out. I think he was out immediately when that happened, and then you'd never go back to that. I think it's because of if Draymond Green was no longer with his basketball team and it was Jimmy Butler and it was Steph Curry, I think he'd at least think about it.
Yeah, well, that's – I thought at the deadline there was going to be a behind-the-shadows move to try and get Durant and LeBron. That intrigued me. You know, KD at the deadline, LeBron this summer.
Why don't you just bring my mom on board and her bingo card? How old do you want to get? LeBron, Butler.
Did you not just see LeBron the other night?
He was amazing.
Dude, he didn't look 40 years old.
Shooting from the logo.
You know, it's funny. I was at the cafeteria yesterday. There was someone who was talking. He's like, I think LeBron's officially past Jordan. It's like, either that happened a long time ago or Neville. His stats are so far beyond anybody else's, and they're never going to be matched. I don't understand how a player is going to play for as long and at that high of a level to ever touch LeBron James.
My big question is, now what happens when Bryce comes up? Do we got to go through this again?
What?
Wherever he is, if he's with the Lakers or he's in the NBA.
Oh, put it in the cap. He's going to go to Dallas. Put in the cap.
Okay, so then Dallas has got to take on Bryce and Bronny.
Oh yeah.
So this is going to be a traveling. It's going to be a traveling road show with the kids and dad.
Dude, if they want to get LeBron, just have this. I don't know if this is possible. Can the Santa Cruz Warriors trade for Bronny? Can we bring him to the South Bay? Can we bring him down to the boardwalk, please?
You know who's going to have the best G League teams forever if you bet on these sort of things? It's just going to be the new dynasty.
The Oklahoma. That's like asking who's going to win the FCS football championship. I don't know.
The Oklahoma Blue.
Oh.
Because Oklahoma City just has draft picks now until 2035, and they can't all play. They'll all be down in that G League just dominating everybody.
Well, you know that's where Dagano came from, right?
Yeah.
That's why, I think Alex Caruso was on the Oklahoma City Blue when he was the head coach, and that's why they wanted to bring him back. So, actually, yeah, you're right. Steve Kerr might be gone in a couple of years. You know who's going to fill in for him then? Bring him up from Santa Cruz?
His son?
Nicholas. Dude, could you imagine they replace a Kerr with a Kerr?
Yeah.
I don't know if people would be on board with that. All right, let's go out to, we got some time here. Murillo is in Petaluma. 888-957-9570 is the number. Murillo, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. All is well. Thanks for taking my call. You know, the trade, Evan, I'm surprised that you felt that they made a desperate move. I think we both were in the same page that they built this roster with the intention of making this move in the deadline. I don't think they had the intention of rolling in, even with Melton. Forget Schroeder. Even with Melton, I don't think they thought this roster was good enough to win it, and they had to kind of trim down the roster with these valuable pieces that they thought would be more valuable at this time. Unfortunately, they went down the hill from the 12-3 start, and I think that started when they started to talk about trades. I felt like all these guys, you know, they felt like the pond was shrinking and they didn't know who was leaving. So I think it was one of the reasons why the Warriors were playing so bad poorly. Now, the trade kind of grew in me, Evan, because I think of all the options that the Warriors had, forget LeBron and Durant, that would never happen. I think after 2022, Durant would never come back here. Just ego, you know, I don't think he would ever make that choice. And I think the trade grew on me because of the options we had, LaVine, Vucevic, Ingram, Cam Johnson. Like, they might help, but when you talk about the playoffs and you talk about your opponent, what is the opponent thinking about? All right, Steph is coming with LaVine. Okay. With Vucevic. All right. The opponents don't respect that. Now, if you say they're coming with Jimmy Butler, and one thing about Jimmy that I like is I like guys that can play and have character. And I think Jimmy's character is going to kind of bring the – it will take the Warriors out of this comfort zone that they had with Wiggins. And you know what I mean? Like, I think a shakeup is needed. And like you said, it's going to force Steve to open his back and see if he can, you know, mix Jimmy with the second lineup here and see what we can do when Steph is off the court. So I think the trade grew on me because of what we gave up. You know, it wasn't much. I don't think Schroeder fit. I think – him leaving would give more time for Pajemski. And Kyle and Lindy, these guys leaving, would give more time to Moody, who's playing well. So, I don't know. I think the trade grew in me. I hope they get another guy on the buyout here, see what we can fill up the roster with. But, yeah, I like what they did. I think it will pay off.
Marillo, real quick, do you think Jimmy fits? You mentioned Schroeder not fitting. Do you think Jimmy fits?
I think he fits. Because Jimmy is more of a flexible player than people give credit to. I think he can play with different guys. I don't think he's this ball stopper. I think I've seen Miami playing different ways with him, you know. So in the Philadelphia, I think he had success in a lot of stops. And I think one thing that people don't give Jimmy the credit to is he's a ball junkie. All he does is play basketball and promote his brand. You know, he's a Neymar camp guy, so they promote themselves. But I think I like the character. I think the opponent would think a little higher of the Warriors, you know, given that we make a run here and sneak into the playoffs. But I think it also officializes this staff timeline. I think it's 2 years of let's see what we can do. I hope they can keep coming. It's going to be tough. But we'll see. I think if they're healthy, I think you can put a 7-8 lineup there for the playoffs. Hopefully we get there. That I think it's a lot more – it strikes more fear in the opponent than, you know, LaVine or these guys that don't move the needle. I think Jimmy can
– yeah.
I think he can make that difference. No, it's not Durant, but I don't think we would get Durant at all. And the Lakers is a lot more appealing to LeBron than
I got
any other team right
Thanks.
Now with Lopez.
Appreciate it, Marillo. Hold on. Sorry. I'm kind of with him, by the way, Devon. I guess my thing with the fit is that Jimmy Butler has always been able to fit with other players. But I think that, like, Jimmy Butler's coming into this position. He's looking at it like it's his team.
No.
Like it's his team, and the Warriors are going to have to figure out how to fit with Jimmy.
I don't think that's an issue. Again, he went to Philadelphia, and it was Embiid's team.
I disagree.
That was Embiid's basketball team. And those guys...
Being the best player...
J.J. Redick was on that basketball team. They had some veterans. He wasn't... And he meshed in well.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
I don't think he's that kind of guy. I don't. I don't think it's... If you take care of his money, he'll play nice. He's fine. He has an issue with the front office when you start messing with his extensions and or his currency. And that's it. I don't think he has an issue. He's not going to... I know a lot of people think that he's going to have an issue. You think he and Draymond are just going to come to fisticuffs?
No. It's not him not playing nice. It's the fact that wherever he's gone, he's been the alpha. And I just think it takes time when you bring in an alpha for the rest of the team to adjust to him.
But remember what Austin said?
Yeah.
Just to get back to that call, I think it's a good point. Is that the Warriors could use a bit of a shakeup. I mean, this idea that it's Draymond's team, because Steph is a quiet leader. It's his team. But if you're going to be loud and good, Steph will... He can work with you. He's fine with it. But I think the idea that this is Draymond's team and that you've got to play defense, you've got to do it Draymond's way. Listen, if Jimmy comes in there and is better than Draymond and Draymond continues to age, I think the narrative is going to be that Draymond is now expendable. And during the offseason, who knows? Luka Doncic just got traded. Anything could happen. This could be Jimmy Butler's team should it work out in terms of the seasoned veteran that is the loudest guy in the room, replacing Draymond Green.
Well, I think you're right, but that's kind of my point. Like, I think Jimmy's coming in here, and not in a militaristic manner, but like, this is, any locker room he walks into, it's his. It is, and people are going to have to figure out how to work around him as opposed to him coming in and figure out how to working around the Warriors. At least that's the way that I read Butler. If you disagree, I'm happy to talk about it. 888-957-9570 is the number. We also got some other trades around the league that I know Devon's got some thoughts on. And I really want to get into that as well. Again, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Here's Pajemski off the screen on the right wing. Takes James on the baseline. Muscled that by James. Now spins. Wants to shoot it. Gets locked up. Feeds Moody the post. Post for three. It's on the way. Got another one. Post with a three ball. He has a skill set that if you can add some pounds to him in the offseason, he could be a player in this league for a while.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Tim Roy, I love you, bud.
He'll be on the call tonight at 5 o'clock when Jimmy Butler... Well, he's supposed to make his debut. According to Anthony Slater, was not seen at shoot-around. So might still be going through some physical processes. But Andrew Wiggins sent a goodbye message to the Golden State Warriors faithful on Instagram the following... Thank you for unforgettable years. It has been an absolute honor to wear this jersey, represent this organization, and compete alongside such an incredible group of teammates and coaches. From the moment I arrived, I felt embraced by the Bay Area and the entire Warriors family, and that support has meant the world to me. Winning a championship in 2022 and growing both on and off the court in this environment is something I will always cherish. I got to tell you, when the Warriors traded for, and this is what has me feeling optimistic, say, about Jimmy Butler. I think it's a bit different. But when the Warriors traded for Andrew Wiggins, he did not have a very good reputation. In fact, the Wolves had to attach a first-round pick that later became Kuminga in order to get off of him. And 5 years later, a lot of people would tell you that Andrew Wiggins is one of the more beloved recent dubs. And it's just interesting how a player can completely turn their career around. Wiggins went from, I think, not a bust, but maybe a player that didn't live up to the hype to an NBA champion that was a critical piece to a title team.
Yeah, two guys with two completely different reputations, though.
Wiggins and Butler?
Yeah. I think Wiggins, he was a bit of an enigma. I think his personality gets misinterpreted for not caring. I think he's one of the most genuinely nice guys in the NBA. One thing that I have a hard time with is just like all the chirping, and everybody has to complain about every single call. You ever see that guy get in a ref's face? I mean, he was just really sort of a spiritual, walk to the beat of his own drummer, and I think a lot of us sort of misdiagnosed him, including the Minnesota T-Wolves. But he did disappear for times. I mean, he's just that sort of guy. Like, he would be low energy for a stretch of, you know, 7 to 10 games. And then he'd be Andrew Wiggins that led you to a championship in 2022 that got every rebound, was a force in the paint, hitting three-pointers. But I don't think, like, his reputation is very different from what it is that we're about to embark on with Jimmy Butler.
No, but my point is, I think when Wiggins left or was traded from Minnesota, he was a misunderstood player. And even the last couple of seasons, because of off-the-court misfortunes, I think he was misunderstood. He's a player that I think is... I respect just like as a kind of a fellow introvert, but I think Andrew Wiggins is a guy that... I do think there's going to be some residue from him being traded. And I don't... Like, the Warriors got better. There's no doubt about that. Jimmy Butler's a better player than Andrew Wiggins is, even though Wiggins might fit more. But he leaves a pretty big void in that locker room. Like, I think that Wiggins, to your point, Dan, was beloved by his teammates. And that's going to take some time to get over. And I know that feelings and emotions don't win games all the time. But I do think there will be an impact from Wiggins leaving. And it's more from the young guys. Like, what the Warriors did, you may think this is a stretch, but I'm going to go for it. What the Warriors did is they traded the bridge between generations. Between Curry and Draymond, who were 15-year vets, basically, and the pups, who are trying to figure out their place in the NBA and on the Golden State Warriors. I think the bridge between the generations was Andrew Wiggins. And he's a guy that, along with Schroeder and even Slo-Mo to some extent, like, those guys have seen everything in the NBA. With all due respect, Steph Curry and Draymond Green have lived in basketball nirvana for the majority of their careers. They've been solo team players, they've won championships, and they've been a big part of that. But that's not how the NBA goes. Generally, you're traded, like Andrew Wiggins happened to be on draft night. Generally, you play for multiple teams. Your contract value goes up and down. Your value as a player goes up and down. And so having someone like Andrew Wiggins in that locker room, to me, was a great resource for someone like Kuminga or Moody or even Pajemski, the younger players, to have someone to talk to about what generally happens in the NBA, which is you getting jockeyed back and forth in your role and thinking about what your future is going to be. And that player is no longer in the locker room. I think there's going to be some residual from that.
I don't know if he's in a bridge as much as he was just a really good player this year. That's what's going to be missed. He was a godsend. Can you imagine what this team would be, as bad as they have been, without Andrew Wiggins or the Andrew Wiggins of the last 2 years? He's everything that Steve Kerr forecasted. That this guy's coming in the best shape of his life. He's refocused. Remember, all of us, especially you, out on the young man Andrew Wiggins. A lot of us were like...
Well, the Warriors were trying to trade him for the last 2 years.
And with good reason. I think that physically, I think we're underrating him a little bit. Are we really that sure that Jimmy Butler's an upgrade?
I think he is.
Well, the Andrew Wiggins we have seen again. Yes, if you were to put the two resumes side by side, Jimmy Butler's a better basketball player. No doubt about it. Right now, Andrew Wiggins has done everything and then some. Without him now, you're asking Jimmy Butler. Again, I just don't know what version of Jimmy Butler. I'm with you that I think that Jimmy Butler just wasn't bought in this year. But the Jimmy Butler I saw this year in limited action with Miami and towards the end of last year. Let's not forget how he ended things last year. You know what created this whole riff? Was last year in the playoffs, which he wasn't playing in, where he'd say, we'd have won this series if I was playing. And Pat Riley was like, well, shut the hell up because you're not playing. And that was the beginning and the end of those two.
Well, I think it was more so they didn't want to give $120 million to a 35-year-old. Like, but Jimmy Butler's on a contract through his age 37 season. That's just something that as a good basketball mind that Pat Riley is, he doesn't want to be attached to. The Miami Heat got better in this trade. Like, I don't know if they won it, because Butler, I think, is a better basketball player than Wiggins. But they were going to be starting Haywood Highsmith. Like, the Miami Heat basically traded a player that was a malcontent for an NBA champion who was a number two player on a title team. They got better. I think the Warriors and why Wiggins was important is because he was someone that eventually got to the point where he could assimilate to what the Warriors were. He was never their best player, but he could be their number one scorer on given nights. He could be their best defender on given nights. Andrew Wiggins assimilated to the Warriors. I think the Warriors are going to have to assimilate to Jimmy Butler. And that's a really, I think people are overestimating how difficult of a thing that's going to be.
I can't see Steph Curry and or Draymond Green assimilating to anybody at this stage.
Then I think we're going to be in trouble.
Here we go.
Buckle up. Well, no, but it's not, again, it's not just about Jimmy. It's like, and again, to a lesser extent, Schroeder. I told you this the moment they traded for him. Trading for a player that doesn't fit the system is not all of a sudden going to, like, Draymond told us that this guy didn't fit. And again, Jimmy Butler is a way better player, and it's a lot different. But to me, getting players that don't fit doesn't just change the equation. Like, by the end of the season, we might be talking about the same thing, just in a different way, which is this team has got a bunch of aging players that are too old or past their prime, and a lot of young guys that aren't proven enough that don't have enough experience. What they did was widen the gap. Like, you mentioned those teams, the Celtics, the Nuggets. Yes, they have their homegrown talent. They also have players in their 20s. Yeah. They have players in their late 20s. The Warriors just traded a 29-year-old for a 36-year-old. Two summers ago, they traded a 23-year-old for a 38-year-old. Getting older, as good as Jimmy Butler is, to me, is not going to automatically propel you into playoff contention. That's why I do think that there's risk to this. Because unless you make the playoffs, and to me, unless you win a playoff series, what are we looking at the next 2 years? That's what I'm thinking about.
What are the prime years for an NBA basketball player? And you know this. It's 28 to 30, right? Last year, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, both like 27, 28. The year before that, the Denver Nuggets, the Joker, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., also all in their late 20s. The Warriors had two guys, as I like to say, in the sweet spot. It was Andrew Wiggins, and it was Kevon Looney. And they just, and I would say Kevon Looney with his, you know, with his medical history, plays much more like a guy who's, you know, 45 as opposed to now 30. And now you don't have anybody. So it's sort of feast or famine. So now you have the Pajemskis and the Moody's and the Jonathan Kamingas and the Trace Jackson Davises of the world sort of still groping and trying to find their way in their early 20s. And then you have, you know, the old men, so to speak. And you lost that key guy who was in the sweet zone, that being Andrew Wiggins, who's now a member of the Miami Heat.
Yeah, and again, I think that this is going to take some time to figure out. But again, the Warriors are 25 and 26. It's not as if they're bringing Jimmy Butler into a situation where he's supposed to be the guy that's going to get them over the hump. Jimmy Butler was brought in to help save this season. That's also not an easy thing to do. I know Jimmy Butler, I really like Jimmy Butler. And he has provided, I think, some of the more underrated playoff performances in recent memory.
In the bubble, he was amazing.
Well, the bubble, he was awesome. 2 years ago, he was awesome. He had a 56-point performance against the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, he largely did drag that team to two finals that no one expected the Miami Heat to get to. There's no doubt that Jimmy Butler is going to be remembered, I think, as a damn good basketball player. But how much he has left, that's the biggest question, because if he doesn't have enough to be, I think, the best player over the last 31 games of this season, then the Warriors are in trouble. And beyond next season, Jimmy Butler is a player that, again, in his time in Miami, averaged 56.5 games in the regular season played. He takes regular seasons off. Now, it's because he's getting himself ready to lead a team in the postseason, but the Warriors' issue hasn't, I think, been the playoffs. It's been getting there. Like, they got to get through 82 games before you can think about a play-in or a seven-game playoff series.
And health becomes a huge issue, as it has been with him and Steph.
And Draymond.
I mean, again, every time I think about aging players that were put together, how many times this year has the big three out there in Philadelphia, and Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey play together? It's like less than 10. And I always hearken back to, again, it's just I don't want to be that guy, but somebody just has to point out to me when something like this, a template like this, if this is the recipe to win, when has it ever worked in the NBA? Now, I like one of the callers was bold enough to say, hey, look, Steph is one of one, so you don't necessarily need a template, or you don't need necessarily something that you can point out and saying, well, this team did it back in whatever year. It's just, they're going to be the first. Well, I'm certainly open to that, but it's just it's hard in today's NBA. If you look at you know who actually got better on draft day? The one team that actually got better was OKC, because Chet Holmgren came back. Like, that's the one team that added a player and actually got even better. And that's just where the world is at when it comes to the NBA. It's about young teams that are headed in one direction, and the Golden State Warriors that I think are headed back down the mountain. At some point, you're going to have to push reset. At some point, you're going to have to come to the realization that Steph, Draymond, and now throw Jimmy Butler into that pool can no longer do it because they're pushing 40 years of age. And then what?
And then you got to turn the page. I think also the fact that they got Butler.
Why not get out in front of that was my whole point.
Because you still want to be entertaining. Like, that's another thing.
I get it. It makes sense. Look,
I'm not trying to say they got worse at the deadline. But Butler's a good player. But to me, this was as much about just trying to shake things up as it was trying to get better. Like, it's trying to be more entertaining. They're trying to be... The Warriors are an entertainment product right now. They're not a good basketball team. And they'll have 30 games to prove that they are. But I just... What I'm afraid is that we're going to be stuck now with these three guys, and there isn't going to be a whole lot of flexibility. I don't know. Maybe the one thing they did do, which is interesting, is they did open up a max level slot for this summer because they could move Butler. But it seems to me, Dan, that this is also them...
Well, you still have your young pieces.
Well, yeah, but how much are those young pieces worth,
And you still have... You didn't mortgage the future because of the youth that you retained and also your draft pick. So there is some flexibility. It could be a lot worse, let's put it that way.
That's true.
I'm surprised. Well, actually, I'm not, because you and I talked about this, that Jonathan Kuminga wasn't mentioned in that deal. I don't know how they pulled it off without Jonathan Kuminga.
Well, he was going to be in the Phoenix deal. That was also reported afterwards by Shams, that the deal for Kevin Durant would have been multiple first-round picks. What was it? Wiggins, Kuminga, and Filler. So Kuminga would have been going to the Suns.
Well, and maybe I mentioned this, that I'd never felt as though he would go to Miami, simply because he is not Heat culture. Whatever it is that Pat Riley, at now age 80, say what you will about the guy, Jonathan Kuminga, who I think is a good basketball player, and this isn't somebody's right or wrong, he is not a Pat Riley type of hooper. And I knew from going back in the day, I was like, well, if Jonathan Kuminga is your biggest trade asset, don't knock on the Miami Heat door, because they want nothing to do with a guy like that. And they pulled it off regardless. So kudos to Dunleavy and company.
Yeah, and the Heat got a pick. I mean, all right, I know you hate doing this. If you're going to grade the trade, what grade would you give it?
Well, keeping in mind that I wanted nothing to do with Jimmy Butler, want to get younger,
okay,
I would give that a B+.
B plus. Okay, yeah. I would say like B minus. It's not a bad trade, but I also think that they are still like they're not a Jimmy Butler away.
No,
they're I don't know. I mean, maybe people think that Butler's going to be the difference between them. Their current path was towards missing the playoffs. And I think Butler is going to help them get to a play-in game. And maybe he ends up being the difference in said play-in game to get to the postseason. But I just think it's going to be really difficult. Like, looking at the Western Conference, top four seeds, OKC, Memphis, Denver, Houston, they all, relatively right, stood pat at the deadline. They didn't do much. Is Jimmy Butler going to help you upset more than you already were any of those four teams? I would argue Houston. I think they could beat Houston. They're not beating OKC. I don't think they're beating Denver. And Memphis, even at full strength, I think they're going to have a really hard time with. Like, the Warriors, Kerr's talked a lot about it the last few weeks. It's like they want to play, they got to try and play faster. They got to try and play with pace. And they got to defend better. You know, is Jimmy Butler as good of an on-ball defender as Andrew Wiggins? I think he used to be. I'm not sure if he is anymore. He certainly is not a player that's going to help you play with more speed. You know, to me, where Jimmy Butler is going to help you the most is in crunch time. It's in those two-minute scenarios like we saw against Utah, where that's a game that he helps you close. But I don't know, Dan. I guess my glass is a little half empty, and it's weird because during the summer I was someone who was really interested in Jimmy Butler. I think he's awesome, but
he is just not with this team.
Maybe that's it.
You talked about some of those teams, Houston. Well, we could take a look at it. Memphis, the Nuggets, Rockets, Lakers, T-Wolves, Clippers, Mavericks, Suns, Kings, all in front of the Golden State Warriors. Some of those teams might have been a Jimmy Butler player away. Maybe the Nuggets could have used it. Memphis. Houston. Give me the veteran to go along with some of our kids. But the Warriors with an already aging core. I hope I'm wrong. I really do.
No, look, I'm interested. That's
going to be fun.
You that's know, what this trade day, does.
It's given us.
That's what this trade does. They make the Warriors watchable. This will make the Warriors watchable for the last 30 games, and it's going to make them more entertaining. I think it's going to be a whole hell of a lot more interesting to cover from a media perspective. You know, what is the ceiling to you now of this basketball team with Jimmy Butler compared to before?
Win a playoff round.
I think that would be a success. For them to get to a second round series would be a success.
Oh, it'd be huge. And they may not want to admit as much, but I think they'd all take that.
But I almost feel like that's not good enough for some people.
Oh, well, some people are delusional.
Like, people think that Jimmy Butler is going to help drag them to a Western Conference Finals or a final.
Hey, stranger things have happened. I mean, Luka Doncic got traded this past week. Who the hell knows?
By the way, you don't think that's as bad of a move as other people, it sounds like.
Oh, well, I like Nico Harrison for doing it, but the fact that he traded Luka Doncic is ridiculous. You don't trade that guy. You don't trade that guy.
What if he's 25 going on 35?
Nah.
He's been playing basketball since he's 14, Dan. He's got a lot more miles on those legs than people know.
No. How do the Lakers do this, though? That's just...
They're the Lakers. That's why. They had a player. Like...
I've been doing this since I've been on this planet. Doing this since the 60s. Wilt Chamberlain, they got in a trade. Kareem, they got in a trade.
I know, and those players wanted to go there. This is actually where I do think that this trade is not going to be looked at as unfavorably in the future. Like, do you think Luka Doncic is an all-time player? Because that's who he's now compared to. In Dallas, and I actually think this is kind of why Nico had maybe reasons to move him. In Dallas, you can get a bit fat caddy. Like, you're not compared to Kareem, to Elgin, to Magic, to LeBron, to Kobe, to Shaq. You're compared to Dirk. You're compared to Nowitzki, who helped win this franchise's first championship. So you can kind of be the guy who keeps your team in contention, but there's not really an expectation of delivering rings. The moment you go to the Lakers, you're expected to not just win but you got to win championships. And if you're going to be a single name guy, like I just mentioned all those players before, or even Mikan you could throw in there, Chamberlain, all these stars.
George Mikan.
I'm just saying,
the
man.
The first big, the first 7-footer.
The Minneapolis Lakers.
Yes.
You got to deliver. And I don't know if Luka's up for that.
Well, I think to your point, we continue the conversation after the break. Yeah, there aren't the expectations in Dallas. You know why? Because they don't have the history of winning, because they don't get the great players like that of the Los Angeles Lakers. But they did have one in Luka Doncic. And how did they get Luka Doncic? Well, it was one of those things. It was like the stars were aligned. For some reason, Vlade Divac had an issue with Luka Doncic's old man, and Sacramento was out, and then the Atlanta Hawks have no idea what the hell they're doing. So he lands with Dallas. You got a generational player, because it's not a destination for free agents, right? Somehow, some way, you got what could be one of the greatest players in the history of this league when it's all said and done with. You don't trade that dude away, because you don't get players like that. L.A. does. New York, maybe even the Warriors. They got Kevin Durant in his prime. Guys don't go to Dallas like that. Generational players don't end up in Dallas. And you had one. You stumbled on this guy, and you just dealt him.
LeBron might go there this summer.
What's that all about,
bro? I don't know, man. But anyway, the NBA is back. I mean, they own Super Bowl week.
Yeah,
we saw Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis, De'Aaron Fox, Jimmy Butler, to a lesser extent, Zach LaVine.
No one likes us. No one likes us.
Well, you got to stop singing the Philly song before we get to the part
and
you
Devon.
Can't talk about. Yeah, Devon. Devon.
I got a Devon and a DeBone, who was some guy went after me.
Bad to the DeBone.
By the way, I'm not saying Jonathan Kuminga is a bad player. I'm just saying I don't think Pat Riley, I think, was out on him.
Well, I didn't know they're going to get Butler, but I did tell you that Kuminga was going nowhere at the deadline. And also Draymond Green, so that's a white Russian. The drink. There was someone last week who was confusing white Russians for something else. We got one more hour left on Warriors this week, 11 to noon. Get your calls in, 888-957-9570. If we're missing something, please let us know. I want to hear from you. Also text in, same number, 888-957-9570. That's Dan DeVoe. My name is Evan Giddings. We're back after this. Warriors this week, 95.7 The Game.
And Devon.